When darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Yes, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giant. I know how the story ends. Yes, I know how the story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Take what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. My every moment, you calm the raging sea. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in Lord, I trust in you. And I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. And I believe you're my portion, and I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. You hold my every moment, you calm my raging sea. Walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you, Lord, I trust in you. portion, and I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need, and nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hand, and I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion, and I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need, more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. See a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Good morning. I'm so glad that y'all are tuning in. I hope that you are anyway. We are here at First Baptist Church, and it's a little bit unusual, but we are going to give you our message today, and Josh has already played some music, so I hope that you sang along, and we are going to look into the Word of God right now, and if you would open up your Bibles with me today at Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 19 through 25 as our text today, and I will try to be brief because I know watching it online, you're going to be really more apt to go to sleep, so please don't go to sleep on me, okay? All right, thank you. All right, well, let me read in beginning in verse number 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. And the writer says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Well, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary by shedding his blood, we have the opportunity this morning to come into the very presence of the living God. And even though we may not be in the church building today, we are still in the presence of the living God. Now, that may not sound as exciting to some of you as it would to the people who have read, who had heard this the very first time, and back in the early age when Paul wrote the letter or well, not with Paul, but the writer of Hebrews wrote the letter. I don't know that it's Paul. A lot of people think that Paul wrote the letter of Hebrews, but I'm kind of mixed on that. But you've got to keep in mind that the Jewish people were involved in a system of worship that basically had a series of barriers that kept people away from the actual presence of God. So when the Hebrews believers read that for the first time, that because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, because of his resurrection on the third day, that they could actually go into the very presence of the Father, I mean, it blew them away. They were so excited because they had never been able to do that before. And for some people today, it may not be thrilling that we think that we can go in the very presence of God. But I want to tell you, it's a very exciting thing to be able to go into the very presence of the Father and give him our hearts, give him our petitions, just let him know what our mind is, even though he knows. But he still asks us to come. He wants us to come into his presence, and we need to do that. Well, because as we looked at last week, Jesus made that once and for all sacrifice for our sin, now we are welcome to come right into the very presence of God. I want you to notice three times that we're told in our text, let us. First of all, in verse 22, he said, let us draw near. Then in verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And then in verse 24, he says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So I want us to examine these three admonitions this morning and just see how wonderful it is that you and I are, because of our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have a relationship with him, that we can come into the very presence of God the Father this morning. But also, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, if you're watching and you have never received Christ as your Lord, the Lord of your life, I want to take these three admonitions and I want to encourage you today, and I hope that you will consider giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the first admonition that he gives us in verses 19 through 22, basically he's saying, let us enter. Let us draw near. Well, notice verse 19, he says, therefore having, and then again verse 21, he says, and having a high priest. That shows us that the provision that has been made in order that we might walk right into the very presence of God. Now, the word having in verse 19 is a present tense participle, and it means something that we have right now as our present possession. It's not something that we're going to get. It's not something that we once had, but it's something that we have right now as a present possession. So therefore, brethren, having boldness, having the freedom, having the liberty to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. And that previous way to God is now the old way. It's the obsolete way. And we've been looking at that over the last several weeks because we've changed from the old covenant to the new covenant. The old way is passed away. The new way is here to stay. So that's a great thing. So Jesus, by the shedding of his blood at Calvary's cross, has now opened to us a new and a living way that we can go right into the Holy of Holies itself. He says in verse 20 that he has consecrated this way through the veil, that is his flesh. See, that's how the entrance is provided. These two verses indicate to us that we have access into the presence of God through the precious shed blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that word veil that's used in this verse is actually a figure of speech for the incarnate body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you have to keep in mind that in the temple, there were veils that kept people out. There was, first of all, the first veil that kept the people out from that first compartment in the place of worship there. Only priests could go through that first veil, and they had furniture in there, they had things in there that they were doing. But then they had to go through the second veil to get into the holy of all, the holy places, the holy of holies. But only the high priest could go into the holy of holies. He was the only one allowed to go into there to make the offering on the Day of Atonement. So those veils kept the normal people, the everyday people, from coming into the temple to going into those places where only the priests could go. Well, when Jesus was dying on the cross, you may remember that the Word of God tells us that the veil in the temple was torn from in two from top to bottom on the day that he died on the cross for our sins. That veil, that thick veil that goes into the Holy of Holies, was torn from the, I think the King James says it was rent from top to bottom, torn in two. And now the way is open. The veil has been removed, and we have a new way to go into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no veils anymore between us and God. They have been taken away. Then notice down in verses 21 and 22, it says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. That is an open invitation for you and I to go into the very presence of God. God in heaven basically is saying to us through this text, he's saying, come on in, child, it's good to see you. How are you doing? Tell me about your needs. What's going on in your life? Isn't that a wonderful thing that we can just go like we would go with our everyday father and just sit down and talk about what's going on in our life? Now, I want to think for a minute about everything that's going on in our world today, because with all this scare and all the panic that's going on in our world, you may be frightened right now. You may be frightened about this coronavirus that's going around, but you know, all you have to do is talk with God, and he will take away your fear. Do you know that there is 365 phrases in our Bible that either says, do not fear, or don't be afraid? That's one phrase that says, do not fear, or don't be afraid, for every single day of the year. See, God has made provision for us that we don't have to be afraid in the days that we're living in. Yes, we need to take precautions. Yes, we need to use our common sense. But we don't have to be afraid, because we know that God has got us in his hands, and we are able to enter boldly into the very throne of grace so we can talk to God the Father about this fear or this panic that we may be experiencing, or if you may be experiencing right now. I want to tell you, don't worry. Let God take care of that for you. Let him remove that fear, take it away from you, because God is going to see us through this time. Notice also not only how the interest is provided, but how it must be pursued, because he says in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of the faith. Now, if you look at the next two statements, he says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Those two statements right there carry with them the background of what a priest had to do before he could go into the very presence of God in the temple. One of those things he had to do before he could take the blood of the sacrificial lamb to go into that, or whatever the animal was at that particular time, before he could go in there to the Holy of Holies and make that sacrifice, what he had to do, he had to make sure that he was prepared. He had to have the blood of the animal sprinkled on him. And then another thing he had to do, he had to wash himself to make sure he was clean. And by the way, that's what we are being admonished to do today, is wash your hands. When you touch things, don't put your to your mouth or to your eyes or to your face. Wash your hands. And that's good sense. And we need to be heeding those warnings. So these priests had to do the same kind of thing. They had to wash themselves to make sure that they were clean. They had to be clean on the outside, but they also had to be clean on the inside. Now, of course, that simply means that when we go into the presence of God, we have to deal with any sin that's in our life. Folks, we can't go into the presence of God if we have unconfessed sin in our heart and life. We need to make sure it's taken away, that we've confessed it, that we've asked God to forgive us for it, and that he will come and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we'll simply confess our sin. Of course, the sin problem that we have was dealt with initially by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it covered all of our sin. And because of the shed blood of Christ, and because by faith that blood has been applied to us, we have been washed from our sins in his own blood. That's what Revelation 1:5 means when he says, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, ours were the sins, his was the blood. You see, people do not have access to God on the basis of their own good deeds or their own merit. Listen, you're never going to get good enough if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're never going to get good enough that God is going to feel so honored that he's just going to say to you, come on into my presence. Listen, we have a sin nature that needs to be dealt with. And the only way that can be dealt with is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. We have to make sure that we've confessed our sins, we've received him into our life, and that our sins have been washed away. The only way you and I can ever go into the presence of God is just as old sinners saved by the grace of God. And he welcomes us as we do that. So we come into God's presence saying, Lord, I know I don't deserve this, but the precious blood of your son has cleansed me from my sin. I'm coming on the basis of the blood of your son, Jesus, and I'm coming with all of my petitions, with all of my needs, and with the needs of others that we may bring as well. The believer has the privilege of washing his life or her life by the precious word of God, which is called in the word, the water of the word of God. And I think that's an importance that we have. It's important that we have every day a time when we get into the word so that we can wash ourselves with the word of God, so that we can make sure that if there's any sin in our life, that the word of God is going to reveal that to us, and it can help us to be cleansed as we confess that to our Father in heaven. So just let the word of God wash away that outward life, rearrange your life, and show you how you ought to be living. And once you have washed in the water of the word, you can now enter into God's presence and you can have fellowship with God. And that's what he wants with you today. That means you can enter into the presence of God for yourself. And of course, we may ask from time to time other Christians to pray for us. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. We need to ask others to pray with us as we have needs and issues in our life. There's nothing wrong with asking others. Even though we have the ability to go into the Father ourselves, there's nothing wrong with asking someone to help us pray. But let me just say a word here. If somebody comes to you and say, you know, I've got a real burden in my heart, and I just want to ask you, would you mind praying for me with this, about this problem? You know, I think it's so important, because if you're like me, you have a tendency to forget. I think it's important when someone asks us that, say, you know, let's just stop and pray right now. And we ought to just grab them around the shoulder and give them a hug or hold their hand or whatever. And just, of course, I know today that's not what you're supposed to be doing at this time, but it's still something we do as believers. Just hold them close to you and just begin to pray and lift that need up to the Father. You have told them, yes, I'm going to pray for them, but show them you're going to pray for them by just grabbing a hold of them and saying, I want to pray with you right now. And just lift that burden up for them so that they'll know that hopefully that once you leave that place, as you go about your daily life, that every day you're going to continue to pray about that issue, that need that they have, and you're going to lift it up to the Father, and they're going to know that God is going to answer that need. He's going to provide for them. He's going to make sure that they have what they need in their life. But if you've got a need in your life and you don't have time to get to another Christian, or you don't have time to call the pastor, well, the good news is today you can pray for yourself. That's what he's saying here. We have the privilege of going into the very presence of God ourselves. We don't have to wait on somebody else. We can do it our very self. So we have the admonition, first of all, to let us enter. Secondly, in verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And what that admonition there is, let us endure. Let us endure. Hold fast carries the idea of endurance. It's in the word without wavering means not to lean. And he's saying to these believers, don't lean back to your old life. Don't go back to your old ways. The constant challenge that the writer of Hebrews has been presenting to these believers here in this book of Hebrews is that he's constantly saying to them, move forward, go on, don't go back to the old. Some of you are still infants in the Lord when you ought to be more mature. Don't go back to the old ways. Stay on the go. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing toward that maturity that you need to have in your life. So there's that constant pull that we struggle with from our old nature, our sin nature, that wants to cause us to lean back in the direction of the old life. But folks, listen, he is exhorting us to keep our life pointing toward Jesus. And I'm exhorting you to do the same thing. We are to endure. We're to hold on to the confession of our hope, which is the Lord Jesus. And we need to be getting closer and closer to him every single day. Now look at the next statement in verse 23. For he who promised is faithful. The basic truth about perseverance is not that we hold on to the Lord, but that he holds on to us because he is faithful. Sometimes we're not all that we want to be and we don't hold fast. But the wonderful thing about salvation is that we're not kept saved by our hold on the Lord. But the important thing is that he who promises faithful and he holds on to us. Jesus says, I have them in the palm of my hand. No one can pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that good news? I tell you, it'll make a Baptist shout what it ought to do, because that is good news that we don't have to worry about hanging on tight enough that we're not going to fall off from the Lord. He's already got us in the palm of his hand. He's holding us. He's secured us. And he is faithful to fulfill every promise that he has made to us. See, if you're in Christ, you're kept by the power of God, and he who promised is faithful to keep you. You can count on him. He'll never go back on his promises to you. That is an encouragement to us to endure, to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be faithful when Jesus, as we live for Jesus day by day, and to be faithfully looking for his return. Because listen, folks, he's coming again. Now, we don't do that in order to save ourselves, but we do that because we are saved. We do that because we've already been saved, and we're going to keep enduring. We're going to keep doing what God has asked us to do and keep living for him like we should be living for him. Well, the third thing that I see here this morning is that we need to be, he said, let us encourage. Look at verse 24. Let us consider one another. And the word consider there means to fix your eyes upon or focus your attention upon. And he's writing believers to encourage them to give attention to fix their eyes upon things that are going on in the world. And one of the healthiest things that you can do psychologically is to focus your attention on the needs of others. Not on the needs of yourself, but on the needs of others. Don't just sit around dwelling on your own problems. And even during this panic time that we're living in right now, we don't need to be dwelling on ourselves and saying, oh, it's me, woe is me, I'm worried, I'm going to get sick, I'm going to get the coronavirus, I'm going to die. No, we don't need to be doing that. But what we need to be doing is fixing our eyes upon others. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves. We need to get the eyes on the Lord, first of all. Then we need to get our eyes on the needs of other people. He's saying in order to stir up love and good works. Do you encourage other people? Is your life a stimulation to other people to keep living for the Lord and doing what God has asked us to do? You see, you and I ought to live a life so much that has so much love in it, like the Lord Jesus, that other people will be challenged by the love that we exhibit in our life, that we will become an example to other people, that you and I ought to be so faithful to the Lord Jesus that other Christians will be challenged to work for the Lord because of our example. We need to stimulate people to do good works. So look at verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now that word forsaking means not to abandon. Not to abandon the assembling of ourselves together. Now what is he talking about here? Well, he's talking about the attendance of services at our church. But Brother Jay, I'm not at church this morning. I'm at home. I know that. I'm actually in the church right now as I'm videoing this, but on Sunday morning, I won't be at the church either. But that doesn't mean that we can't assemble ourselves together. How do we do that? We're going to assemble ourselves together around the computer, around the internet, as we're watching this service today, as the songs that you sang with Josh and this message that I'm giving you right now, we are assembling ourselves. It's a little bit not the traditional way, But it's still a way that we can come together and be of one heart and one mind and one accord, even though we're not physically in the church house. So we're still assembling ourselves together. It's just in a unique way today. So don't feel like because you're not at the church house that, oh my goodness, I'm not worshiping God. Yes, you can still worship God no matter where you're at. And while you're watching this video, you can be worshiping along with us as we're watching it, because I'm going to probably watch it myself, because I always watch my sermons after I preach them, the ones that are recorded, just to critique myself and see just how bad I really, really did. And I'm sorry that you have to look at me this morning. I know that I'm not as good looking as Brooks Hester, but nevertheless, I'm here. And please continue to listen. It's only a few more minutes, okay? All right, thank you. Well, anyway, that word assemble there is a very interesting word. It's the only the second time that it appeared in the New Testament. And the only other time the word occurs is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. And there, the Bible talks about our being gathered together to Him, to the Lord Jesus. The word is used to describe the rapture, the second coming of Jesus, when believers are going to be gathered into the air. Now, it's going to be an exciting time when we gather together in the air with all the believers in all the lands, living and dead, and we're caught up in the air to meet the Lord. I tell you, it's going to be something else. I'm looking for it now. I say even today, even so, come Lord Jesus. Because that is going to be one of the most exciting events that we've ever experienced. The event that we're going through right now, this coronavirus, it's not too exciting. Matter of fact, I wish it would hurry and get over. But when we see Jesus come again, it's going to be the most exciting thing we've ever experienced. And the same word that he's using in that, talking about the rapture, he's talking about as we come into the house of God together to worship. I think that means that when we come into God's house, it ought to be just as exciting as it's going to be when we get called up to meet the Lord in the air, because we're still coming together to do what? Worship Him, to praise Him, to give Him honor and glory, to celebrate Him. We come to worship to celebrate. Now, I know Baptists have a hard time celebrating. Amen? Yeah, you can say amen. It's okay. I hear you. What a contradiction it is for people who claim that they've got new life in the Lord, that they serve a living Savior. They're looking forward to the blessed hope of His second coming, the glorious appearing of our great God, and yet they're not excited about worshiping Him. Folks, something's wrong with that. We need to get excited and we need to praise Him. I heard about two boys living out in the country. One day they was out in the field, and they looked up, and there's an airplane way up in the sky above them. And one of the boys says, I sure would hate to be up yonder in that airplane. The other boy says, I sure would hate to be up yonder without it. Well, folks, let me tell you, I'd hate to be in a world that we're living in today. I'd hate to live in this world without the church. I'm so thankful for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for my brothers and sisters in Christ, because we have a family that we can rely on in the times like these and the hard times. Now, he says, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's saying church ought to be an encouraging experience, not a discouraging experience. We ought to encourage our brothers and sisters. If you know of some brother or some sister who's having a problem today, you need to say to them, what can I do for you? How can I help? Tell me something that you need. I mean, listen, in these days of uncertainty that we're living in right now, we need to be checking on our brothers and sisters in Christ. I said, I think in one of the emails I sent out, this is a time that we can be the church out here in the world. Folks, we need to be checking on one another. We need to be checking on our neighbors and our friends. We need to be checking on our coworkers or whoever it may be in our neighborhoods. We need to be checking to make sure our senior adults have the things that they need in their home. If they have needs, call them. Call up our senior adults in our church. Call up the people in our church and say, are y'all okay? Do y'all have need of anything? Because, you know, if you go to the grocery store right now, there's a lot of empty shelves. People have panic bought. They're hoarding things that other people need, and some people are doing without right now because there's nothing to buy. Now, I know that that's going to change because the stores are still going to get in items. The world hadn't stopped. They're still producing these items. It's not like there's not a shortage. There's not a shortage of these things. It's just that people have gone crazy and bought everything up. Well, think about those people who are short in some of those things in their home. And if we can go and try to find something for them, or if we have an abundance of things in our own house, share with other people, I think that is the thing that we need to be doing. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be checking on one another. And he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I think about this time how bad it is. Can you imagine how bad it's going to be when the tribulation comes, folks? This is nothing compared to the tribulation. We need to make sure that we're doing all we can to get people saved so that they don't have to go through the tribulation. This is just a foretaste. This is just a small example of what it's going to be like in the tribulation period. I'm encouraging you today that if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will give your life to him this morning. All you have to do is just repent of your sins, call upon him, ask him to forgive you. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for me. You shed your blood so that I could be saved. Lord, would you come into my life? Would you come into my heart today and save me? Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I will live for you. I trust you, Lord. I'm going to give my life for you. And I want to help other people to know you as well. If you're a believer today, folks, listen, take heart, because the Lord Jesus is coming back one day, and it's going to be a glorious thing. But in the meantime, we have the privilege to celebrate him every single day, not just on Sunday, every single day we can celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be celebrating him. We ought to be praising him. We ought to be worshiping him. And I hope and trust today that if you, as you have watched this message, that you're encouraged. Don't fear. You know, fear is what's driving everything in right now in this country. But we need to have faith and trust, because our Lord is greater than everything that's going on. He's greater than the coronavirus. Do you really think that he can't take care of that? I said in a post that I put on Facebook last week or this week or whenever it was, I can't remember. I said, you know, I'm not worried. If I get coronavirus and I die, I win. If I live, I still win, because I have Jesus in my life. I'm a winner either way. So I hope that you will not panic, not fear. Trust the Lord. He's going to take care of all this. It's in his timing. It's all in his timing. We can't do anything. He ultimately is in control of everything. He's in control of this today. Maybe he's trying to get people to realize they need to come to Christ. And if you're realizing that today, I encourage you to open up your life and allow him to come in right now. I want to pray with you, and then we'll be closing. Let's pray together. Father, I am so thankful today that we can celebrate you. Even in the time when we're not in the church building, we can still celebrate you, because you are worthy of everything that we can give to you in praise and worship. And Lord, we don't have to be in the church building to worship you. We can worship you every single day, and we ought to be worshiping you every single day of the week. I pray for those who are hurting today, many who are scared, who are frightened. I pray for those who are sick today, Lord, that you would touch them. All of those who are battling this virus, I pray that you would give them health and healing. For those families that have had people who have died because of this, I pray your encouragement to them and your comfort upon their hearts. But Lord, I pray that you would just give us a sense of peace and knowledge, knowing that you are in control. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be found faithfully serving you. Even in this time when we're not able to come to the church, we can still be found faithful. Lord, help us to reach out to our neighbors and our friends. Lord, help us to reach out to those in our neighborhood and just make sure that they have everything they need. Let us be the hands and the feet of Christ as we reach out to them. Let us show love, and let us stir up that love and good works that we need to be stirring up in people's lives. And Lord, let's just say, hey, if you have a need, I'm here. I'm here to help you. Just let me know what I need to do. And Lord, I thank you again today for allowing us this time together. A little bit different, but Lord, we know that you are in the midst of us. And I'm so thankful for that. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation. And I praise you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I hope that you'll watch the video today, and I hope that you'll come back next Sunday, because we'll be right here again with another message for you. Y'all have a great day. Goodbye.